gazing down on us, can change us forever. He has given all for us. And we want to give all to Him. That's what conversion is. That's the path of conversion. Nothing less than the gift of ourselves back to Him will ever satisfy us. Nothing less than the gift of ourselves back to Him will ever satisfy Him. So why is the crucifix so central? Here it is over the high altar. It's another beautiful one at the back. Every church has a crucifix. There has to be a crucifix on or close to the altar for the sacrifice of the Mass. Even St. Paul, who's constantly talking about the risen Lord, he meets the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. He's overcome by the risen Jesus. And yet, he cannot stop talking about Christ crucified. He says, "We proclaim Christ crucified, the power and the wisdom of God." And the reason for this is that the central message of Christianity is that Christ's life, Christ's death gives life to the world. It's as simple as that. Christ's death gives life to the world. We are to live fully and joyfully in the light and power of Christ crucified. And so our conversion is about accepting the life that He won for us on the cross. Conversion is not a negative thing. It's the most important move we will make in our lives. It means saying a radical yes to Jesus. It means choosing Jesus over and over again. It is the greatest journey of all. Conversion is the greatest journey we will ever make. Recently, a saintly monk observed that, "Is travel really worth all the trouble, all the bother?" The first thing I was thinking, well, travel broadens the mind, it expands our horizons and all of that. But then I was thinking, look at all the restrictions in travel, all the security checks, the COVID tests, all of that, that made travel so difficult. But the point the monk was making was that the most important journey of all is within. It's the journey within. We can travel the world, but never face ourselves. We can travel the world, but never delve deeply into who we are or why we are here on this earth. The monk had a point. The most important journey is the journey within, the path to conversion, the path to God, and so the path to who we really are. There is so much pressure today to present a certain image or keep up a certain image. It's who we are before God that really matters. That's our real identity, who we are before God. We are as He sees us. And so to become myself fully, I have to become myself in Christ. And that's what makes all the difference. Becoming myself in Christ. He wants to live in me and love in me and transform me. It's not just part of me he wants, but all of me, my whole life. And that's what true integrity is. Making this gift of ourselves to the Lord and living for him. But our main concern is, how am I before God? The temptation we all have, I think, is to hold something back for ourselves, to hold something back from the Lord. But that never works. It only leads to something like spiritual cramp, or an ache, or a divided heart, or indecision, or restlessness. We're torn between two masters. Conversion involves giving up my sins, but it also involves giving myself up to him. Not trying to keep stuff back for myself, to find security there. Real security lies only in the hands and in the will of Jesus. Of that we can be certain. Our real security is in the hands and in the will of Jesus. Conversion then is a journey, but it's also a transformation. It changes us. She suffered from a morbid sense of guilt, like a really bad sense of guilt. And she reached a turning point only when she realized that, in her words, it was not something I had done that required forgiveness, but everything that I was required to be miraculously transformed. It was of myself that I needed to be healed. Christ didn't come just to forgive us, important as that is. Our salvation lies in the forgiveness of our sins. But he came for even more than that. He came to make of us a new creation, a new people, to create in us a new heart, something that only God can do. Only God can create in us a new heart. A heart that can live and love with the love of God himself, divine charity. When we are baptized, we actually put on Christ. We put on this new identity. And so it's not just about doing the right things, which is very important, or believing the right things, which is very important. It's about becoming a new creation in Christ. That is the purpose of conversion, that we put on Christ, that we become a new creation in him. The Lord approaches us not so much as a propagandist, like someone who wants to tell us things, but he approaches us as a lover. The saints are on fire with love. That's what consumes them and moves them. The love of Christ constrains us, St. Paul says. The charity of Christ moves us. God loves us as we are, but he doesn't leave us there. He sees how great we can be. He loves us to transform us. He loves us to live with us. He loves us to change us. You could say that we are loved by Christ into conversion. It's not something we have to do all by ourselves. It's not something we can do all by ourselves. We can only do it for him and with him. He doesn't just want to take away our sins. He wants to share our lives. He wants to make us new. He wants to live in us and love in us. This conversion involves a daily dying to ourselves. The Irish Cistercian monk, Father Eugene Boylan, would often ask people making a retreat or a mission, he would ask them, would you like to make progress in the spiritual life? If so, then he would say, decide to refuse God nothing for 6 months and see how that changes your life. Decide to refuse God nothing for 6 months. Of course, he knew that if you did this for a period of time, like 6 months, that you would never go back, because this would change your life completely. It would change you. Decide to refuse God nothing that he asks. This is one of the paradoxes of the gospel. When we die to ourselves, we live a whole new life. We gain this new freedom, the power of grace, the power of Christ, deep joy. Conversion leads not to misery or gloom, but freedom and peace and reliance on the God of surprises. This giving to God, this refusing God nothing, begins in the small things in our lives. The daily decisions, the little daily deaths. Saintly holy people tell us that the hardest death is the little daily death. Like the small sacrifices that are asked of us every day. And these prepare us for the ultimate end, death, and our meeting with the Lord. Little deaths of the ego are the big deaths. And they allow us to do heroic things when the Lord calls upon us to do heroic things. We shouldn't waste the little deaths we are offered every day. So many examples. The opportunity to pray more, or to be kind or generous or charitable or humble, to let an insult pass, to let a perceived slight go. To avoid impatience, to push away those thoughts that just revolve around self and self-satisfaction, pride and vanity, or the instinct to hit back and retaliate, to put someone else down when we don't really have to. Give these to Jesus as an offering, and then they take on great value, immeasurable value. Then they change you. Of course, there are times when we have to stand up for ourselves, but a lot of the time we don't, and we can let something pass. We can give someone the benefit of the doubt. We can avoid a sharp remark. We can reach out in kindness or show more tenderness to those we live with and who might irritate us. These little daily deaths to self, prepare us for the big things the Lord might ask from us in our lives. And it's important to remember that every time we make a decision for the good, every time we decide not to say the uncharitable thing, or not to be sharp and cutting, or to be patient, every time we let the Lord win the victory, we give Him the victory. The victory is ours. We are the winners. Every time we let the Lord win over us, over our will, when we let Him win, when we give Him something that we want, every time He wins, the victory is ours. We are the ones who benefit. We are set free. We are changed.
Jesus.
every day of his life that he simply couldn't turn his back on Christ at the end. All of the saints testified to these daily fidelity, daily holiness, just the small efforts, the small sacrifice of every day, whatever it is, done with great love, whatever it is, whatever is offered to the Lord takes on immeasurable worth and value. It takes on the value it would have that is if Christ did it himself. Whatever we join to Christ takes on the value it would have as if he did it himself, because it's united to his saving offering on the cross. Whatever we surrender to the Lord, whatever we give to Christ is changed and takes on a whole new value. But whatever we keep back for ourselves, it just stays small. It shrivels up or even turns sour. Remember the boy who gave the five loaves and the two fish to our Lord. It was all that he had with him. And our Lord multiplied them to feed thousands. This is what the Lord does when we give him what we have. The boy in the gospel gives what he has, letting Jesus do what he wills, giving God the full scope to act. What is offered to Jesus is transformed and bears abundant fruit. Let us never hesitate to give ourselves to the Lord and to try to hold nothing back for ourselves. What we give to him, he will bless and transform. What we hold back remains our own. It will probably stay insignificant and small, maybe petty and peevish. It may even hold us back, inhibit us, make us unhappy. Try to refuse God nothing that he asks. We will lose nothing but gain everything. The Lord will never be undone in generosity. When we give all to him, then he has full scope to act in our lives. And act he does. Because that's what God does. God gives himself away. He gives himself away on the cross. And he continues to give himself away in the Blessed Sacrament, which is the pure gift of himself poured out for us. And in the sacraments too, confession. The blood and water pouring from the side of Christ continues to bathe us and cleanse us and heal us. That's divine love. And that's the love that is to burn in our hearts. So don't be afraid to give to him. Don't hold back from him. What is not given to him stagnates. It just goes off like a grudge or a hidden grievance or an unconfessed sin. It just stays there and gets worse. We are made to give ourselves back to God. That's the purpose of our lives. We have this gift of life. What are we to do with that gift? giveth thine to him, and he transforms us. Resisting God is resisting happiness. Just a final consideration this evening. Sometimes talk about the cross can terrify us. It can frighten us. receive the fruit of the cross most of all in the Holy Eucharist, most of all in the sacrament of confession, and in all the sacraments, the blood and water flowing from the side of Christ. The fruit of the cross is healing, forgiveness, and peace. Through the mystery of the cross, Jesus comes to meet us, and he enters into our sufferings. He who still bears his non-glorious wounds comes to heal ours. He comes to meet us and give us true life. He comes to join us to himself, to live his life in us, so that we can live life to the full. And so lastly, there's nothing we cannot face in Jesus. The cross of Christ means there's nothing we cannot face or confront, because he has done it first. He has gone before us. He has done it for us. He has gone into all dark places before us, and he shines his light there for us. He has looked all evil and suffering right in the face. He has looked evil and suffering right in the eye, and he has overcome them for us. So we should not be afraid. Wherever he leads us, he is there. He goes before us. He goes with us. And he carries us. Our salvation is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the entire Easter Triduum begins, Holy Thursday evening. First words of the Mass: we should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, looking at Christ crucified, we are opened up and transformed by the holy power which gives us true life. The sight of Jesus crucified, gazing upon us, can change